This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. It is a Falcons Friday. And I am he, and he is I. Bo Morgan, they call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. She is the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball. And I was going to give her a new title, and I don't even remember what it was. The Queen of something, but
yeah,
not
what
tofu.
What was that? You were going to take away tofu.
Oh, I'm not reminding you.
It was the
Queen of Improv.
Improv. Yes.
The leader, the founder of the two-man army called Allie's Army with a negative Uber Steve. I bet he loves to shout out every morning. And our man, Matt Ryan, is producing the show today, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Ryan behind the glass. Oh, wait. My bad, that's Garrett, but we're just in a Matt Ryan jersey. Good morning, G-Money.
A.K.A. G-Unit.
How you doing, boy. Brother?
Yeah.
You don't have to answer that. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, Falcons Friday, baby. I got this is my favorite Matt Ryan jersey, so we'll take it.
How many Matt Ryan jerseys do you have?
I have two. I have two. The other one's from a game that we won't talk about.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah, put that away.
You just said
Falcons Friday, and then you went bad.
Happy
vibes.
Falcons Friday. It's a
but
new year, new
happy
vibes.
About that, and then that.
So. You ask, I answered. I don't know.
Early, yeah, you're right.
Early fair foul here. Is it fair foul to say Falcons Friday, or can you not say Friday after Falcons?
It's foul to say Friday in general, so yes.
I'm going to say foul. You can't say Falcon Friday. It's just too much.
Right.
It's just too much.
Also,
too loaded. Too loaded.
It's really a Dylan thing. I think Dylan does it, and I don't know. I just feel like he's kind of trademarked.
What he's trying to say is, let's just leave it with Dylan. Let's just leave it right there.
Like,
let's put it in a box and mail it to Dylan.
Speaking of Dylan, his Eagles got a big win last night.
It definitely did.
They did. Yes, it is Falcons Friday, as we've been mentioning. We're going to get you up to speed on everything Falcons throughout the show today. 6:40, I have a bonus round of trivia today. So we'll play that at 6:40. 7:40, another round of fair or foul. And at 8:20, Dave Archer will join us. But let's go ahead and talk about last night's game. Eagles won 24-20. The whole thing, though, started off on a very ugly note with Jalen Carter. Got himself ejected for spitting. What in the world? Would you guys rather give your opinions first, or do you want to hear from Dak Prescott on this whole incident?
Let's hear from Dak.
All right, let's hear from Dak.
I probably spit 1,000 times throughout the game. I mean, especially game day, maybe even in general. It's something I guess I'm not proud of. But in that case, he was trolling, I guess you could say, trying to mess with Tyler Booker. I was just looking at him. I was right here by the two linemen, and guess I needed to spit, and I wasn't going to spit on my lineman, and I just spit ahead. But I would say he was back there where Jory was in that sense, and he asked, or he goes, "You trying to spit on me?" And at that point, I mean, I felt like he was insulting me. Like, I wouldn't spit on somebody. I'm damn sure not trying to spit on you. Like, we're about to play a game. I'm wondering why you're trying to mess with the rookie. And so when I step through, I actually say the words, like, what the hell would I, excuse me, but I'm probably even more colorful. What would I need to spit on you for? And he just spit on me in that moment. And it was more of a surprise than anything. Refs obviously saw it through the flag. I was like, hell yeah, we get 15 yards to start the game off.
I don't even know where to start with this. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. And I know that it's not the first time it's happened. But I was in shock. And I think the broadcast crew was in shock too. And judging by the reactions on social, and I tweeted, like, what an idiot. Like, that was so dumb. And I think everybody else kind of felt the same way. I was just, you want to talk about starting an NFL season off with one of your best defensive players spitting on the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Can't script that. That's crazy.
Yeah, this is one that's, and I saw people trying to defend because they're like, yeah, Dak spit first.
Who was trying to defend?
Just they.
Okay.
They
I was going to say,
I saw Jason Kelce doing it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, my gosh, dude. That, what are we doing?
Can I say something real quick? I'm over Jason Kelce because he wants to go to ESPN and go to these things and act like he's an analyst.
Analyst.
Thank y'all. And he's not. He's a complete homer. Okay? There's no integrity to him at all as far as journalistic integrity. Okay? There's none. And I don't know why we have to give guys. I love hearing from former players, but I don't need his platform. I'm over it. It's just ridiculous that to hear him defend that. There's no defending that. That is the indefensible, okay? That Jalen Carter has issues. I don't think that's, jumping out on a ledge. There's no reason for him. What happened was is, he's trying to punk the rookie. And then Dak, I think, is just doing what Dak normally does, but Dak had eyes on him. Mm-hmm. And then they lock, and then he wants to punk Dak. And Dak's a grown-ass man, too. I don't know if y'all know this, but he's not slight build, okay? And he stepped up. I don't know why Jalen Carter's response is, well, I'm going to spit on you. Literally. What? Spit at his feet? Okay? Because that's essentially what Jalen felt like Dak did, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tired act. He always, about 3 to 5 times a year, he does something egregiously dumb on the field.
What an idiot!
Thank you, Will Ferrell. And then it was a bad night for Georgia players' emotions. George Pickens made a dumb play, too. And then I think Nolan Smith got him one.
Yeah, Nolan Smith got a taunting call.
Like, but most men would say the most disrespectful thing you can do is spit on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to disagree because it's just disgusting. And there's no if you're defending that, I lose respect for you.
I had to see what Jason Kelce was saying, and there he was. He said something. There was a video of Dak spitting on the ground. And he said, "And the truth shall set you free."
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
Right. This is not going to turn into Star Wars. Who shot first?
Yeah. Okay. He spit on his chest at point blank range. Like, we're not. This is. There's no like. Oh well, justified. What are we talking about?
The truth.
He spit on him. He spit on him dead in the middle of his chest. It's the most that is the. And not only that, the worst part is the reason they had a chance to even talk to one another is because the poor fullback from the Eagles is getting carted off. He had a season ending injury last year and he's on the ground and you can see it in his face. He knows it's bad immediately, takes his helmet off and is like, yeah, dude, it's bad.
I'm sorry, but. There's already things, a checkered past as far as on the field stuff. Only talking on the field. And then, to your point, your teammates being carted off, and now you just spit on the guy, and now you're being ejected and you're smiling as you walk away.
It was bad, dude.
There's a lot to not like.
If you remember, and I'm with you because a lot of people talk about all the past with the incident after the parade and everything at Georgia. But in the first day we ever did the show, we talked about Jalen Carter, and I was like, I don't want him here. And the reasoning was not the incident with the wreck. My reasoning was at his pro day, he looked bad and he cramped up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the biggest day of your life at this point, and you're telling me that's the performance you put out. Didn't want to do this, cramped up, and I was like, just that alone is enough for me to look at it and go, yeah, I don't know if this guy's got it reported. Now, is he an all-pro player? Absolutely. But Bo's right. We're going to get a couple of boneheaded decisions out of him a couple times a year. I'm not trying to pile on him, but that was, that was bad. That was awful, an awful look. It was an awful look for the NFL to start the season, and I'm still kind of in shock over it, to be honest. I'm very curious to know what the punishment that will be handed down from the NFL will be. It can't be too over the top because the PA will step in.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you they are irate at the NFL offices over the fact that their marquee season, you know, starting game was started with a freaking loogie on a chest. Like, what are we doing, man? They've got to be just beside themselves at that office.
Yeah, it's a terrible look for everybody. It just, I don't know. I'm glad I'm with you. I'm glad we don't have that guy here because it's exhausting. He's exhausting because you have to watch all the defense of everything trash, all the trash he does on the field, and then know that he's a uniquely special talent and could literally go down if he put all his concentration in being the best player he could go down as one of the greatest defensive players ever. He's going to go down as I don't think he'll have the career Ndamukong Suh did. And Ndamukong Suh had a checkered pass. And
I think I was going to say he's kind of this day and age. That's what I saw last night. I will say, and this is where I think I split with a lot of sports fans, period. There's going to be people that look at this and go, well, yeah, he messes up a couple times a year or whatever, has checkered pass, but, you know, they won a Super Bowl. I don't care. Like, that's where I think I split with a lot of sports fans in my sports fandom. I don't care. Yeah. I really don't. I want the Falcons to win a Super Bowl worse than anything in my life right now, but I want them to do it the right way, and hopefully they will.
Yeah, everything just kind of started off on a weird note last night. There's also a lightning delay. The Eagles had 93 penalty yards at halftime. We'll get into this more throughout the show, but coming up, we've got some audio out of Flowery Branch to play for you. If you weren't ready for Sunday already, this will hype you up. That's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Rise Up on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Garrett Chapman is hanging out with us as well. Make sure when you get to work today to take us with you. You can pop on the Odyssey app or iHeart app. Take us with you to make sure this Friday flies by. Put in your earbuds. Pretend you're on a webinar.
Yeah, listen to me everywhere you go. Why wouldn't you?
Well, we do have week one, Sunday, home opener, Falcons, Bucks. Before we get into the audio that came out of Flowery Branch yesterday, because we heard from Darnell Mooney and Bijan Robinson, I want you to hear some of that. What is your game day prep? Because you guys start off the pre-game show at 11 o'clock on Sunday. So what is your schedule like?
Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah,
I was going to say, mine's different depending on if it's home or away. Mm-hmm. Like, completely different schedules. Home game, I wake up and I kind of treat it like I'm coming in here. I wake up at, you know, I just wake up whenever. I don't have an alarm. But I normally wake up around 7 at the latest, like 6 sometimes. Probably this week I'll probably wake up early because I'll be kind of, you know, juiced and to get in here. But I honestly play like Wordle and all those games. I watch highlights from college football. Then, you know, I get ready and then I turn on the I get in the truck and I turn on the Wade Ford show that we normally have, or, you know, the kickoff. And I'll listen to that for about, really for all of 575 until I get to 75, and then I have a playlist that I play. And I meet Mike in the parking deck. We walk in together normally. And don't, why are you smirking for? Because I have a game day playlist. Why does this man like want to come at me with everything I do?
There is a signature.
I didn't say a word.
But you have a signature face when someone says something that just tickles your fancy.
I'm sorry, man. Just the thought of him playing music on his way to the stadium, getting in the zone, is funny. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you why, but
well,
it's hilarious.
It's not necessarily in the zone. It's just music that I enjoy.
Yeah, I'm all about it. I don't. I'm just smirking because it's. it just sounds funny.
It's different on the road. On the road, I obviously don't drive. I'm in on the bus, but I go to the gym on the road.
And what Allie doesn't understand is that dates all the way back to him talking about having his Louis Vuitton bag and his aviators and his customized shoes for game day and traveling and all that stuff. So it's just, it's the whole thing.
A little bit extra.
It's not, yeah, it's not just the soundtrack. It's not, it's the...
Hey, man, I take my job seriously.
You know what I mean? Game day playlist, baby. Let's go. can you give us, like, give us one of the songs on the playlist? Is it Let the Bodies Hit the Floor or something like that?
Some Outkast.
actually, and I haven't, and in all... To be really transparent, I've not necessarily finished the playlist. I normally add to it.
Oh, no.
but I can go ahead and tell you that it starts with The Ecstasy of Gold, just like, because that's one of my favorite movies, is Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. If you know that song, it's also the song that Metallica opens every concert with.
Okay.
So I have the Metallica actually playing it, which they don't do anything. But I would say that Voodoo Child by Hendrix is on there.
Okay. Don't know that one. Not familiar.
But. Hollywood Hogan's old entrance.
Okay.
Not the NWO entrance, but when Hollywood Hogan would come out.
Gotcha.
And Garrett can find it, and he can play us out with it, I'm sure.
Yeah. My pregame's not nearly that cool.
Okay.
I'll be real. You know, where you're going to think it's funny for both of us is on these primetime. I think we got five primetime games this year. When the air mattress is coming in with me, and we're blowing up the air mattress, and I'm just basically taking a nap between post game and the show.
Will you have an alarm set, or when I come in, do you guys need me to wake you up?
The alarm will be set, yes, but when the door, how loud the door is on the entry to the bullpen over there, that will wake me up 100%.
I wonder if you are if you unplug Bo's headphones, if it just pops out and it's just like Taylor Swift or something. Yeah. Blast it. Like a little shake it off or something, and he's like sitting there like,
rolls up
and it's like
bins.
He's like acting like he's listening to like Master of Puppets.
I'm gonna tell you something. I wish I liked Taylor Swift's music, because it would definitely make when Amy plays it a lot easier for me.
Well, make sure you listen to Taylor's version, okay?
Yeah, exactly. You gotta do that. All right. Well, we did hear from Darnell Mooney yesterday. This has kind of been a question mark throughout all of training camp. And we weren't really sure if he was going to be able to play for week one. So this is what he had to say.
I don't think anybody is restricting me on anything. I'm out here. I'm practicing. I see you guys. And I get to see the guys, And so, like I said, I'm glad to be back out on the field. Glad to be around, I've been like a ghost for the last month or so glad to be back.
I got questions, because he was listed as limited.
Right.
So he's not limited. He's not limited. What are we talking about? You know what I mean?
Maybe he's limiting himself. He said no one is limiting me or restricting me. Maybe he didn't include himself in the no one.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. I doubt it. But I think that we all just share the same notion that I hope he plays. But this whole thing with Raheem, we listened to it yesterday, him saying basically day-to-day and game-time decision and everything that's coming out, I don't know what to think. So he definitely changes the way we do things.
Yeah, absolutely. He's that speed threat. And he's also a yak guy. That's one of the best things that I feel like they could probably do a better job of is getting him the ball in space and letting him create. Because we saw when he was in Chicago, he did a really good job of it. I don't remember seeing that much of it last year, but last year is a little of a blur in a lot of ways is because also a year removed. But I personally don't think he's playing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my thought. No one's told me that. It's not like I've been, hey, here's the deal. No, I just don't think it. Do I think he could? Yes, because they're leaving it open. But it just feels like he's not, and that's just the feeling I have. Well, you know what? Today, though, if they're calling it a game time decision, so to me, it feels like something they're not going to announce until Sunday at 11:30.
Sure,
when the inactives come in. But I'll be interested in see how he's listed on the practice report today.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I think the way that Casey Washington practiced during training camp probably makes the decision a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. You can't replace Darnell Mooney, but Casey Washington was so good, and everybody, he was the darling of camp. Casey Washington was that guy, him and James Pierce. And I think it just makes it a little bit easier. Like, 10% easier for Raheem to be like, you know what, man, let's give it another week. And so I wouldn't be, I'm with Bo. I wouldn't be shocked to see him not play and be inactive on Sunday.
Well, another guy we heard from yesterday was Bijan. It sounds like he's ready to lay the foundation for this season.
I mean, this is the game that sets the tone, I think, for us as a team for the whole season. And, you know, with us, like, we understand that this is a division game, but, you know, we're taking this game like it's a championship game, and that it's the most important thing that's in front of us. And for us, like, you know, we got a tough matchup coming up, so, like, you know, handling that the right way and, you know, being the more aggressive, more physical team and just owning everything all four quarters, like, well, everything else will take care of itself.
Come on. Inject that in my veins, baby. I'm ready to go. I'm like, yeah, it's a championship game. You dang right it is, Bijan. You dang right it is, man. Let's get this thing rocking in week one. I'm stoked about what he just said.
I'm ready for him to have that breakout performance against Tampa Bay. That, you know, he had like 124 yards in two games against him last year on the ground. I'm kind of ready for him to just bust out, right? And just kind of explode onto the scene against them at home and kind of talking about, you know, laying the foundation as it were his words. And that to me is laying the foundation for not only a 2,000 all purpose yard season from him, but kind of set the tone in this division that, you know, there's a new king at the table.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting. And one of the topics I think we're going to probably cover throughout the season is, you know, we focus before training camp. There was a lot of talk about Bijan wanting to create more explosive runs.
Mm-hmm.
I think is it 35 that's his longest one of his career? And he was saying we got to get that. Garrett says yes. He's saying he was saying we got to get that up. We need to get that number to be, you know, 50, 60, something like that. I'm going to be focused on that a lot throughout the season because I think that Bijan is obviously capable of that. But I know that he's pretty much explained it as one of his goals. And as has the coaching staff, to create more explosive plays. And, you know, look, that, along with a number of other things I'll be watching for on Sunday, I think that we'll be watching for, third down percentage, which is obviously on both sides of the football has been such an Achilles heel for this Falcons team in the past, you know, specifically the last couple of years on defense. So I'll be watching for that and also wondering if Michael Penix can hit some of these medium throws. He can throw down the field so well, but can he hit the crossers and things like that the early parts of the game? But I think Bijan is kind of part of that conversation as well.
Yeah, and last year in the two games against them, they were under 50% for the two games combined on third downs against Tampa Bay, but it was right around that, like 46-47%. So which was pretty, really, it's pretty good.
I was gonna say they won both those games because of that.
Yeah, well, and I think Tampa actually outplayed them here in Atlanta that first game, and you kind of. You made a couple of plays that really kind of defined the game, but you've got to come. The crappy thing about opening with Tampa is it feels like you've got to come in clicking on all cylinders.
Your point about them outplaying the Falcons here. Do you know how close we were? Because obviously there's a lot of conversation around the Commanders game and Raheem's clock management. You know how close we were? If that referee picks the ball up,
ball game,
just to spot it, what happens at the end of that game? If you go back and watch it, for anybody that didn't notice this, it's what, 12 seconds on the clock, they throw across the middle, they run up, they spike it, and they kick the field goal to send it to overtime. The referee, to spot the ball, just touches it. That's all he does. He just touches it. If he picks it up and then puts it back down to spot it, game's over, and Raheem Morris is already in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
Of this fan base.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to think just that referee touching the ball, Kirk spiking it, it goes to overtime. It's nuts. Nuts to think about how much that could have changed in that conversation.
Well, coming up, we've got some college games to get ready for. We'll preview those. And we've got my Allie Mac drop. A little bit of bonus round of trivia today. We're going to talk about NFL firsts.
Okay.
No Googling. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Yes, it is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Beau Morgan on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And there's no more math. Tomorrow is Saturday. Thank you, Steve, for that information. It's going to be the first weekend of College Game Day without Lee Corso. You guys still watching?
Yes. Of course. I mean, I will. I don't know. I'll flip back and forth. We got the first day of T-ball tomorrow, though.
Yeah,
it's going down in the Johnson house. So we'll see what happens. But that'll probably take up a good chunk of that morning. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I got to the point where I watched that show on mute anyways, except for a couple. Unless Saban is unless Saban's talking, honestly. And look, Corso just won't be there at the end of the to do it. But he had gotten to the point where he only had a couple of segments on that show. They won't do the headgear. I think you told us that the other day, Allie.
Yep.
The end of it is going to be a little less eventful for me and to watch because I always enjoyed doing the headgear, but whatever.
Well, we do have a few matchups to preview. Vandy at Virginia Tech, Georgia, and Austin Peay.
Yeah. Vandy, Virginia Tech, I was telling you guys, that's that second game in that round robin. They all three play each other in the first 3 weeks of the season. It's kind of strange. South Carolina and Virginia Tech played last week. Vandy and South Carolina will play next week in that one.
It's a revenge game for Va Tech.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right. That's going to be fun to watch. You brought up Georgia and Austin Peay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't say that my expectations changed much from what they were last week with Georgia Marshall.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. Just get healthy, continue to kind of ramp things up, and I believe next week they go to Knoxville.
Yep.
So you want to be firing, like I said, that's my term today, firing on all cylinders.
Firing on all cylinders.
We've also got Georgia Tech and Gardner Webb.
My biggest thing I'm looking for in this is ability to run the football without Haynes King. What did he have, 19 carries last week against Colorado? There's no way that they can make it through the whole season with him being healthy if he carries the ball 19 times a game. And it's Gardner Webb. Work out the kinks in the run game without Haynes King. But get him out of the game.
I can't talk today. There's already the reports that he came out of that game banged up against Colorado. Yeah. So, also clean up the mistakes. I know Georgia Tech allowed Colorado to be in that game with the first half they had.
You talk about running the football without Haynes King. Malachi Hosley is the guy you need to keep your eye on. He's the backup running back behind Jamal Haynes, who's brought in to be that second guy that they've really lacked for the last 2 years behind Jamal Haynes. Okay. They've really struggled to get that. So keep an eye out on that guy.
Love it.
Number 15, Michigan, is taking on number 18, Oklahoma. And this will be live on 92.9 The Game.
It's a big game, really. It's a big game for Brent Venables and John Mateer. And it's kind of a big game for Sharon Moore because it's a game he didn't suspend himself for, right?
Yeah.
On purpose to win. And so, you know, Bryce Underwood's kind of debut against a real opponent. I say real, but like a top-tier opponent. This game is sneaky, sneaky big.
Yeah, I agree. Both these coaching staffs, obviously and Sharon Moore, actually, he went to Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken. This is one of the games that they didn't want to sit him out for because it's against his alma mater. So I'm with you. Both these teams, this is going to be a game that sets these teams on the trajectory for the near future. And I'm talking about for the rest of the season just in terms of their outlook and what, you know, how they feel about playoff opportunities and things like that. So we'll see what happens. But I'm with you. I think this is kind of a table setter, and Oklahoma's got to prove that that their offensive line can hold up against Michigan's defense.
We've also got number 20 Ole Miss at Kentucky.
Woo, get back game.
Well, Kentucky.
Get back game.
Look, Mark Stoops is trying to, I guess many want to say save his job. He was trying to get his program back to where he kind of had it. And he's doing that by trying to reestablish the just smash you in the mouth type of game plan offensively and then play defense. That's what they're trying to do. He's got everything set up to get back to that style and that brand of football.
Mark Stoops has been so good at having these game plans where you're just butting each other's nose and then hoping that the other team can make a mistake at some point along the line. They don't win when the other team doesn't make a mistake a lot of the times in these big games. Ole Miss, last year, made plenty of mistakes. And this is a game – you want to talk about a prove-it game? Lane Kiffin's got to get over the hump of losing these games he's not supposed to. I don't think he loses this weekend, but it's just another indicator of, is Lane Kiffin really an elite coach? And until he beats teams like this on a consistent basis, he's not. So we'll see what happens. But that ought to be a fun one in Lexington.
We've got the Border War, Kansas at Missouri. This has not been played since 2011.
Missouri and their offense, I just talked about Oklahoma's offensive line. Missouri, I feel the same way. You got to prove that these guys up front are able to hang. Kansas is not really going to be that team that pushes you to the limit, but we'll see what happens. Missouri is a team that probably should win this one.
A game that went away because of conference realignment. You know, I think Prebula was okay. I think, I don't know, I don't necessarily if I ever pronounce his name right, but in his like kind of debut, I know they played multiple guys. The receivers looked pretty good for Missouri last week. So that's, you know, it's Eli Drinkwitz. I wouldn't mind seeing him lose.
Wow.
South Florida at number 13, Florida.
Upset alert.
Yeah, this game is upset sneaky alert. Tough.
I was just messing with you, but yeah, I actually agree. The South Florida's a good team.
Yeah, this game is sneaky tough. And Lagway is, look, DJ Lagway is good. Florida played well, really well up front on both sides of the ball last week, but they played Long Island. So forgive me if I don't jump for joy over what we saw. That said, Lagway's got to play clean and protect the football. He's got a habit of trying to make the big play constantly. And that's something he's got to get away from as he progresses.
Yep, I agree.
Iowa at number 16, Iowa State, also live on 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, the Cy-Hawk Trophy, the Dave Archer Bowl.
Yeah, check that out.
As you may, this game. I don't care. Well, partly because both these teams play phenomenally good defense, and one of them is offensively anemic in Iowa. But look, to me, Iowa State is a team that could kind of win the Big 12. And they're a dark horse. They played in it last year. They got Rocco Beck. He's a pretty good quarterback. He's the king of pick sixes, though. He'll throw you a pick six.
That's not something you want to be labeled as.
He'll throw you a pick six. But this, I love watching this game every year because talk about, you know, bloody your nose football. That's what this game is. These defenses come up and hit hard and tackle well.
Means a lot to them for sure.
And Oklahoma State at number 6, Oregon.
Woo! Got a little coaching beef. Big deal. Mike Gundy better deliver on this thing, man. I think when you look at the way that Dan Lanning talked about this game, he felt very confident, did he not? And Mike Gundy did not. But you know Gundy's got a little something up his sleeve. He always does, man. So we'll see what happens when that rolls out.
I think personally I'd rather watch these coaches fight in a fist fight at the 50-yard line than the actual game itself.
Who you got?
I got Gundy.
You got Gundy in a fight? Oh,
country
man.
Strong, man. Wow. Country strong.
Check that out.
Where do you think Dan Lanning's from?
I don't know, but Mike Gundy has a mullet, and he played football at Oklahoma State in the 80s at quarterback position. I'm taking Mike Gundy. Country strong, and he's a man.
This is a great opportunity to remind you that Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of live football coverage in Atlanta this Saturday at 8 a.m. Get the day started with college football game time brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman right there on the other side of the glass will set the stage for all the big matchups. And then we have a triple header of games starting with Iowa, Iowa State. Battle the Cy-Hawk Trophy at noon, followed by Oklahoma State at Oregon. We just talked about that one. And Michigan and Oklahoma. That's all this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, it is week one, so it seemed only fitting to do a quick bonus round of trivia today.
I think you just want us to fight each other. That's what it is. You just want us to fight each other.
She just likes watching you lose. Yeah.
So the theme today is first, and this is NFL firsts. So, as always, your name is your buzzer as we go through these
NFL
questions.
First. Okay, I got you.
And I really don't know how difficult these are, but we'll see.
We're going to be educated either way, Allie.
Yes. All right. Who was the first team to win the Super Bowl?
Bo. Green Bay Packers.
That is correct. Which team was the first to complete a perfect regular season?
Miami Dolphins.
Do you know how many games?
Yeah, it was. Well, they went 14-0 in the regular season, if I'm not mistaken, in the three playoff games.
That was it. Which team was the first to play a game in the NFL? Jock 1920.
I'll go with Bo, the New York Football Giants.
No.
I'm going to go with Mike. I'm going to say the Chicago Bears.
No. It was the Dayton Pringles and the Columbus Panhandles. Okay?
I just missed that one.
I missed the Panhandles.
So close.
Just a little bit. I was so close on that one.
John Fricke did play-by-play, I heard.
Who was the first woman to officiate a full-time NFL game?
Bo. Sarah Thomas.
That is correct.
That is the most impressive answer you've ever given in quiz history. In trivia history, that's the most impressive answer I've heard from you.
It is 3-0 right now. This will not count towards the season because this is a bonus round. Just FYI.
I don't like those rules.
Which team was the first to win a Super Bowl after the 1970 AFL-NFL merger?
Mike. I'm going to say the Jets.
No.
Bo, it's the Colts?
It is the Colts.
Was that, what's his name, the quarterback? Drawing a blank. Unitas?
Johnny Unitas?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, pretty sure. Because I don't know if, God, what's the guy's name that took over? Earl Morrill had taken over from yet.
Who was the first player to rush for 2,000 yards in a single season?
Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Dickerson?
No.
I'm going to say Bo, and I know I'm wrong on what I'm about to say, but Walter Payton?
No.
Yeah. Can't remember who it was.
Kind of a controversial figure, OJ.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I should have known that.
Wow. Yeah. Kind of a controversial figure.
Holy
downplay.
He wasn't then.
A little bit of a controversial figure.
He wasn't then.
Which team was the first to win a Super Bowl in the 21st century? Got to do a couple layers here to figure that
out. Mike?
Yeah.
Is it the Rams?
That is the Rams.
Let's go.
It is 5-1.
Technically, it counted for the 99 season.
Bo is in the lead. But it happened in the 21st.
I know.
You know. Who was the first quarterback to throw for over 5,000 yards in a single NFL season?
Mike. Let's go with Drew Brees.
Nope.
Bo, Peyton Manning?
Nope. It would be Dan Marino in 1984.
Wow.
Which team was the first to have a 16-0 regular season? Bo.
The New England Patriots.
That is correct. That was in 2007. Who was the first wide receiver to have 100 receptions in a single season?
I'm just looking at Bo, see if he can get this one. I don't know. I genuinely want to know if he knows.
I'm going to say Bo and Jerry Rice.
No.
100 receptions in a single season.
Mm-hmm.
What was old buddy's name that was the receiver for Marino that year? That's the guess I would have. Did
Clayton?
He play for the Dolphins?
Art Monk?
No.
Okay. Art Monk played for the...
Just missed that one, too.
But it was 84.
There you go. Oh.
Boy, Art, let me tell you something. Art Monk is a guy that never gets mentioned as one of the greatest receivers, and he should.
Which team was the first to win a Super Bowl on their home field?
Bo, it was the Rams.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was recent. Oh, no.
Oh, it was Tampa. It was in 2020.
There you go.
The Rams did it, too. The Rams
did it,
too.
Yeah, they did it next year, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. Was it the next year? Yeah, it might have been.
I think it was.
No, I think it was 22, I thought.
All right, we have time for one more. Who was the first overall pick in the very first NFL draft in 1936?
That's old Jerry Ironsides Johnson.
It's Jim Thorpe.
No.
I don't know then.
It is Jay Berwanger.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He had a good career.
What a great run he had.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
He was not a bust.
All right, congratulations. We all learned a little something today.
How bad did I beat Mike?
It was 6-1.
The Sarah answer was
Sarah
the most
Thomas?
Impressive thing I've ever heard. You could have given me 300 guesses, and I wouldn't have pieced that one together.
Coming up, it is Falcons Friday.
Weird.
We are getting you ready for Sunday's game. That is next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Obsessed with true crime cults or conspiracy theories? Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes is a weekly podcast from Crime House and Pave Studios that dives into the darkest corners of human behavior. Every Wednesday, we uncover the true stories behind the world's most shocking crimes, deadly ideologies, and secret plots. Follow and listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now wherever you get your podcasts.